Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right. So we are going to be starting to wrap up our Red Letter series here this morning. Everyone say Red Letter. All right. And the word that I just kept hearing this morning was legacy. So everyone say legacy. And as I was trying to pray through what that looked like, I got a verse that we're going to dive into today. And I have a special video to share. My parents are actually at the place this verse happened this morning in Israel. And they shot a video that we're going to play in a little bit. So it's pretty cool. We're going to have a visual of the story this morning. But 30 years ago, or about 30 years ago, this church was planted by an Australian missionary. How many know normally we send missionaries out of America, but this time an Australian felt called to come here to plant the gospel, and that's how this church was birthed. And it was birthed by Pastor Otto, and it started at there was a fire hall, we were at George Jr. Chapel where the toilet, imagine if that was the bathroom. That's the church I grew up in. It was so awkward if you had to go to the bathroom during the sermon. So we were there, and then we were at a funeral home. I don't know if some dead got raised, but I think some spiritually dead got raised at least. And then we built this church about 20 years ago that we are going to clean and make better for another 20 years. Praise Jesus today. And what I realized, though, was you and I are standing here because one man said yes to God 30 years ago. Isn't that amazing? If he hadn't said yes to God, I don't know where we'd be. Hopefully we'd all be saved, maybe somewhere else. But 30 years ago, one man said yes to God, and his legacy is you and me sitting in these chairs. And I don't know about you, but 20, 50, 100 years from now, I want to see people sitting in these chairs as a saint cheering them on in heaven. Does that make sense? Amen. There are people that are going to sit here because of your yes to God. Hopefully not just sit, but stand and then go out and say yes to God and go all over the world. And so I want to talk about legacy because it's a very powerful thing. You know, every letter of Jesus holds legacy. When he spoke them, they still have the same exact power 2,000 years ago as they do now. Isn't that incredible? If that isn't a miracle, I don't know what is. And so I want to talk about legacy this morning. How many know who Asher is in the Bible? He is the seventh son of Jacob, and he had a legacy of dysfunction growing up that he lived in. Now, I know a lot of us have dysfunctional households that we grew up in, but this one takes the cake in a lot of ways. He had a dad who had 13 kids from four women. He had a dad who was known as a trickster and a deceiver. He, along with his brothers, put one of his brothers in a pit. Now, I don't know about your childhood, and it may have been bad, but unless you put your brother in a literal pit, Asher takes the cake on this one. And so he had a really dysfunctional growing up and a legacy left by his father that was pretty dysfunctional. You know, I realized if he was living right now and he ran for president, the media would just rake him through the coals. Can I get an amen, right? There are far less things that have happened to presidents that try to run and they rake them through the coals. This guy wouldn't even make it. But everyone say, but God. Let's try it one more time. But God. It's a great song, by the way, if you look it up. But God, I love that song. 1 Chronicles 7:40, each of these descendants of Asher was the head of an ancestral clan. They were all select mighty men, outstanding leaders, and mighty warriors. Everyone say select men, mighty warriors, and outstanding leaders. Somehow Asher went from a legacy of dysfunction, deception, and chaos to building a legacy of mighty select warriors. How many know that's a big changeover? And today I want to talk about how God can change your legacy. Some of us are aware that our legacies that we've inherited aren't good, but some of us have just kind of put up with them and just discounted ourselves that we're just going to end up like the legacy we were given. Whether it was a legacy by a parent, or maybe it was from your school environment that you grew up with, whatever it is. And I want to talk about that today. You know, assuming we live till 80 years, which all of us may not or may live past, but 80 years is 29,200 days and 700,800 hours and 42,048,000 minutes. My husband is a numbers guy, so that was hard to say. But let's just say that's a lot of minutes. And that is the amount of time, give or take, that we have been given to build our legacy and build our narrative. And when we go to be with Jesus and we receive our reward, there's a legacy being left behind of what Jesus looks like in our community. That's as a church corporately and individually and as families. And so today, I want to just remind ourselves that God put eternity in our heart. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So the challenge really becomes when you've grown up and been told words like you're lazy or you're a failure, or you're dumb, or you're unwanted, those words have power, and they become like a legacy that we start walking out. Who had a perfect childhood? Anybody have a perfect childhood? Really? Phew, we're all, hey, okay, well, God bless you, but as far as I know, even the most perfect childhood still had, yeah, there you go. Well, it still had a lack of love, because no human is perfect in how they give love, right? And I know when I heard that first, I was relieved, because that's just relieving to know that you're not alone in that. So we're going to open up our Bibles to Luke 5 this morning. Why don't you get your Bible out? We're literally going to live there. It's been kind of fun. In the Red Letter Challenge, we've just been kind of landing on Bible stories, which is not how I used to preach, but I think it's a great way to do it. How many know it's easier to believe someone else's legacy can change than yours? Anybody believe that? It's like, oh, I'm going to pray for your marriage. Meanwhile, I'm over here drowning, right? Or I'm going to pray for your addiction to be free, but I actually have a hidden addiction that I haven't even told anyone about. And God wants to set you free this morning. He wants to change your story this morning. Luke 5, 1 through 3. One day as Jesus was standing by the Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put a little from the shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Now, before we get into this, I want to actually play here two videos. We may not play the whole video, Caleb, so I might ask you to skip in a minute. But this is the Sea of Galilee, and my parents, believe it or not, were literally in a boat this morning on the Sea of Galilee, and I thought that was too good to be true. So we got to actually play the video here. And who's been on the Sea of Galilee? Anyone been on the Sea of Galilee? A couple people. Awesome. All right. Well, we're all going to be on the Sea of Galilee today together.
So one time, I had a group. We were waiting. The boat wouldn't come. About 20 minutes later, they arrived. Everyone got off the boat.
There's the boat.
One of the people on the boat.
This is called the Jesus boat in Israel. Or I guess it's called the faith boat. It used to be called the Jesus boat when I was on it years ago.
No, true story.
All right, Caleb, can you show the next video? So this is the what does it say? It was the water's edge. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by two fishermen who were washing their nets. So there's the water's edge. Isn't that cool? I don't know. That gets me excited. Sometimes we need to be reminded that these red letters actually are real and that there's an actual place where they were spoken first. So Caleb, you can just leave that up there. Thank you so much. So Jesus gets into one of the boats belonging to Simon and asked him to put out a little from shore, and then he sat down and taught the people. So how Jesus changes legacy. Number one, we are called to invite God into our ordinary, and sometimes a big God looks ordinary. So the context of this scripture is that Simon, James, and John were at their ordinary jobs. In fact, they were at their lowest point in their ordinary job. Anybody have a low point in your ordinary job this week? Anybody? Thank you for being honest. No one else was. We're going to do honesty. That's our whole next month, all right? Hey, maybe I'll have fantastic jobs. Sign me up. But it was at their lowest point in their ordinary jobs. You know, these boats normally represented hard work, abundance, right? It's because they used to collect fish and they're used for that. But on the day Jesus chose them, they represented disappointment, discouragement, and lack. How many know when you get to your job and it used to represent abundance and hard work and provision, and some days it just represents disappointment, discouragement, and lack, if we're being real honest? Maybe it's not your job. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's your health. Whatever it is, something that used to represent something positive is actually negative today. And God likes to move right in that place. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Jesus and I was calling the disciples, I would want to like do a trumpet blast, maybe some gold dust, something really phenomenal, maybe crack the sky open. Anybody else? Like if you were recruiting people for your team, wouldn't you give it all you got, right? But somehow Jesus didn't exactly do that. In Matthew 14, we see shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Everyone say walking. You see that lake? You see those hills? Those are the exact hills that Jesus saw when he was walking on the water. This is a real story. He was walking. But you know what? He didn't walk on the water today. Today, he has to get in a boat. Isn't that interesting? You know, before Jesus walked on the water, he got in their boats. Sometimes Jesus wants to do a miracle, but he wants us to invite him into our ordinary lives first. And if we just worship God when we see miracles and big things, then we may not be just worshiping God. We may be actually worshiping what we think we want and making an idol out of it. Do you follow me? It's like Jesus was saying, do you love me in the ordinary? Because if you can love me in the ordinary, you can love me in the extraordinary. And as, you know, I would categorize our church as a charismatic church or a non-denominational spirit-filled church. I know people ask that, and I'm like, would you like a monologue of who we are? I don't know. We love Jesus, and we believe he's alive, right? And so sometimes we can make an idol out of trying to see God move when God just wants to move in an ordinary way. Are you following me? I know that's not exactly a fantastic word like, yay, but actually it is, because how many know most of our lives sometimes seem ordinary and we discount God from them because of it? Are you guys following me? So many of us want to live in the supernatural life of Jesus, yet we discount the natural, so Jesus has nothing to put his super on. You following? If we only obey God when our circumstances and experiences are exactly what we want or prayed for, we may not be worshiping God. We may be worshiping our desires fulfilled. I know this is just a great legacy-changing message, but this is so important because we need faith right now that's unshakable. Can I get an amen? We don't need faith in our desires fulfilled. We don't need faith in something we can see. We don't just need faith when we can walk on water with Jesus, but we need faith when our boats are empty, when our marriages are empty, when our health is empty, when our dreams are empty, and we need faith to say, Jesus, get in my boat. Jesus, get in my ordinary situation. I want to hear your words. I want to hear your red letters for me. Are you following this morning? So number two, we change our legacy by simple little obedience that opens doors for miracles. Luke 5, Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Everyone say little. So I don't know where in that, I mean, The Sea of Galilee, I don't remember the size of it. It's kind of like Cuga Lake, but maybe he was right there. I don't know. You know, he was on the water, and he just got pushed out a little. And oftentimes, we want to go to the nations. Anyone get saved and say, I want to go to the nations? Anybody? Okay, we got one going to the nations. Maybe we should just send you out. You're the only one. All right. No one else wanted to go to the nations when they got saved? Thank you. All right. I don't know. Not everyone has that feeling, but a lot of us do. You get saved and you want to go to the nations, or you want to change the world. But sometimes it always, I was going to say sometimes it always, which is a, that doesn't work, but it always starts with a little. Everyone say just a little. Pedro, I love what Pedro says. I don't know if you know what you say, Pedro, when you say this, but a few of us have picked up a saying that Pedro always says. He says, little by little, there it is, little by little. And he would say it, and we kind of chuckled and stuff. And then I started saying it everywhere. So Brian's like, we got to do this. I said, little by little, hey, little by little. And it's like Jesus is saying, little by little this morning, you want to save your family? Okay, hold on, little by little, let's do little by little together. Push me out a little bit from the shore, little by little. Will you let discouragement, disappointment, or lack have the final say, or will you let God, little by little, speak his red letters into that situation? Amen? All right, number three, final words build legacy. This is a little bit of a simpler message, but I felt like it was a now word because I feel like right now we are in a final word battle. Anyone who's ever had a teenager or been a teenager, even if you wouldn't like to admit it, has been in a final word battle. Maybe it's not even a teenager. Maybe it's your five-year-old. I don't know. Everyone's getting younger and older at the same time in our culture today. I can't keep up with it. But how many have been in a final word battle? It's like, because I said so. And then they're like, but I say this. And you're like, but I said so, right? And then it's like 5 hours of this and someone gets grounded or you want to take an ibuprofen or whatever it is. But final words build legacy. And I think that we have a problem right now because who has ever gotten a word from God and then it's like suddenly it's in competition with other words that have been spoken over your life, right? He says you have a purpose and all the words of failure, it's like there's a final word battle in your heart or in your mind. Anyone, if you're just being honest, it's this final word battle. But we have to, as a church, realize that the final words, the red letters of Jesus are not in competition with any other word that has been spoken over your life. There is no competition between heaven and hell anymore. There is a choice. There is a choice, but there is no competition. There is a choice, but there is no competition. And the problem is if we see it as a competition, then we're constantly fighting and we see kind of Jesus with his sword and the enemy over here and there's like this duke going on. But how many know the cross said there's no more competition? Amen? But there is a choice. Everyone say a choice. There is a choice of what final word you're going to build your marriage on, you're going to build your mental capacity on, your emotions on, your will on, your parenting on. There is a choice. Luke 5:5, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, or another version says, at your word, everyone say at your word, I will let down the nets. Here's a fun fact for you. Jesus is not a fisherman. He is a carpenter. So let's see. Brandon, you're working at the car wash still? Okay. So Brandon, if you need a car wash, he's your man. All right. So what would it be like if Pedro came over to Brandon and said, excuse me, but you are washing all the cars wrong, actually. I want you to press this button instead of that button on the automatic car wash. Would you be like, sure thing, I'll press that button. Why not? Because Pedro is not a car wash guy, right? Now, maybe I don't know you enough. Maybe you are. We can talk later. But how many know that you'd be like, you don't have any experience in what I'm doing, so I'm not going to listen to you. But something rose up in Simon to say, at your word. And some of us are like, I would never say that to God. I would never say like, oh, you have no experience in this. But the problem is, sometimes God says it's time to forgive that person. And we say, God, you don't understand what happened. You don't have any experience in this. I need to talk to you. Like the cross may not have any exceptions for Rod, but the cross has this one little exception and this one little nail hole for me. Wait a second, that's not right, right? Maybe God says it's time to be generous or it's time to tithe consistently. And we say, God, you don't understand. I don't have enough. Or God says it's time to love your spouse and make them a favorite meal. And you say, but God, they haven't said I love you in weeks. You don't understand. You have no experience here. I do. We have a choice, not a competition, but we have a choice every day of whether we're going to let God have the final say or somebody else or something else. My marriage might be struggling, but at your word. Everyone say, at your word. My kids may not be listening and are a mess, but my bank account might be low, but I may be addicted to this, but my coworkers may be getting on my nerves, but Proverbs 12:18, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You know, the problem isn't so much always that we just see God's words as competition to the enemies or to our own words or other words that people are saying, but we actually don't believe words have power anymore. There's so much noise and there's so many words being spoken that it's like they all blend together. And it's like, well, if my words don't matter, then why would Jesus's words matter? Or if Caleb's words don't matter, why would the red letters have power anymore? And it's because we get numbed out. But today we have a choice as we're starting to wrap up our red letters. And I don't know if today's the end or not. I've got a new message series on my heart, so I'm just praying into it. But as we start to wrap up the red letters, we have a choice. They aren't in competition, but there is a choice. And I want to leave you with this choice. We have a choice to believe that the red letters are legacy shaping, are revolutionary, are darkness shattering, are freeing and empowering, are loving and healing, defy cultural norms, and fill hearts with hope and courage even thousands of years later. Or we have a choice to believe that they don't mean anything. Life and death in the power of the tongue. And it's a choice we have every day in every area of our life. Luke 5, but because you say so, at your word, I will let down the nets. So my question to you today is, what net is God calling you to let down? Maybe you're carrying something that you aren't supposed to, and God says, let it down, and I'm going to flood you, just like the fish on this very sea. I'm going to flood you with peace. I'm going to flood you with healing. I'm going to flood you with wholeness. I'm going to flood you with the ability to forgive someone you don't think you can. I'm going to flood you with the ability to love someone that's not loving you back. Or maybe today for somebody else, God's saying, hey, I've given you a gifting. It's time to let it out. It's time to give it to me, and I'm going to flood you with so many amazing fruits and harvests that the lost are going to be saved because you gave your gifting to God that you didn't think was valuable. I just want to wrap up here by reading the whole story then, just as we wrap up. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When you let God change your legacy from dysfunction to abundance, whatever the old word was that you are living out as a final word, when you let God's red letters have the final say, it's not just for you. It's always for the generation to come. It's always for the people around you. When God blesses you, it's enough for somebody else to also get blessed. Amen? Amen. That's how you know it's a God legacy. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, or the sons of thunder. You want to talk about a legacy? Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats on shore and left everything and followed him. This is the fun part about this story. They didn't even get to keep the fish. Everyone's like, wow, all this fish. And then they just leave it all behind. When God changes the final word on your life, when you get to say at your word, that gift that he gives you isn't just for you. And sometimes we're even called to just surrender it to him, and it's for other people too. So why don't you stand on your feet this morning? I just want to speak to you if you're in a situation of lack, loss, discouragement, or disappointment. It could be any area in your life, but you might be standing in your boat and saying, this was supposed to be full, and it's not full. And I just want to speak red letters over you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus' legacy-changing words are in the business of changing stables into palaces. They're in the business of empty boats to feeding whole villages. He's in the business of turning pain into healing and graves into gardens. What words is he speaking over you this morning? You know, if God's final words literally broke death's power, they're the same words out of the same mouth that are speaking words over you and me. We cannot afford to discount the power of the words of Jesus in our lives. What if we dared believe that his words actually have power? When you open up your Bible and you read those red letters, what if you believe they actually have the same power to break death that they can empower me to forgive, or they can empower me to love, or they can empower me to not feel alone? Amen? Or are we so focused on the empty boat situations we're in that we miss the fact that he wants to get into that boat, he wants to get into that ordinary situation, speak and change our legacy, not just for us, but for the generations to come, even in this church this morning? So I just want to remind you, sickness doesn't have the final word. Rejection doesn't have the final word. Brokenness doesn't have the final word. Addiction doesn't have the final word. That person doesn't have the final word. Fear doesn't have the final word. Anxiety does not have the final word, because not even death gets the final word. So where sickness is, we just speak the name of Jesus. Can you say Jesus with me? And where there is rejection this morning in this room, we speak the word of Jesus. Can you say Jesus? Where there is brokenness in our lives, we don't just say it's a fluffy brokenness, oh, get over it. No, no, there could be real brokenness, but there is a real Savior. Can you say the name of Jesus with me?
Jesus.
Where there is addiction, whether it's to drugs, alcohol, porn, whether it's to Instagram, whatever it is, we speak the name of Jesus. Can you say it with me?
Jesus.
Where there are word curses that have been spoken over our lives by ourselves, by our parents, by our siblings, by our coworkers, we speak the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Where there is disappointment, discouragement, where there is lack, we speak the name of
Jesus.
Come on, where there is fear this morning, we speak the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
And where there is death, we speak the name of Jesus. Come on, can we give up a clap offering to God this morning? We speak the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My red letter challenge to you, you know, every week over the last 7 weeks, I think it is, we've been doing a red letter challenge. And I encourage you, keep saying the Lord's Prayer. Keep taking communion. Keep plugging into the community here. Whatever red letter challenge stood out to you, all of the series will be on our website if you click listen to the latest message on the homepage. But today's red letter challenge, that is a challenge for your entire rest of your life, is to not be in competition with the words in your head. Don't put Jesus's words in competition, but choose to believe them.
Amen.
Choose to believe them with your mind, your body, your soul, your emotions, and your heart. What? And let them be heard. That's yes. And then respond. You know, our key verse was, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So the challenge is believe and then respond. And let's build a legacy of red letters. What if our church was known in the region for a church that actually believed and lived out the red letters? It might get a little messy. You might fall in the water when you're trying to walk on it a couple times, but that's okay. Let's live out the red letters together. So I just want to open up the altar here. If you're on the team here, Pedro, come up, Caleb, Rod, if you're able to today, whatever you are up to, and Judith. I want to just open up the altar to anybody who has felt like Jesus' words are in competition with other things going on in your life. And you may need a very real breakthrough. It might be in a job situation, a relationship situation, a health situation. I don't know. I can't always categorize all the situations, but there are a lot of situations in the world. And I want to invite you, as we're closing out this Red Letters series, I want to invite you to come up to the front right now. And I want you to just be able to receive God's word over your life. And I didn't prepare the ministry team at all here, but if you guys have any specific even Bible verses, let's just keep the words real pure today. You might need your Bible. And I'm sorry, I didn't prepare you guys. But I just want to encourage you to come up to the front. We have 25 minutes before you're going to be holding a broom or a mop. Please don't leave me just holding all the brooms and mops. That would be just a sad day in my book. So let's build a legacy of cleanliness in the space. How many know if the building isn't standing, that's not a good legacy? So please stay. We have 6 teams that you can plug into. We've got prizes, all different kinds of teams, inside, outside, little work, a lot of work. We got it for everybody, just so you know. And we're going to have pizza here arriving in about 25 minutes or 30 minutes as well. But I just want to invite you to come up to the front. And I really want to invite you today, because oftentimes we say it under our breath. But I want to invite you to come up to the front and just get a word from God. Something you can hold on to. And if you don't need a word from God, from the Bible, then just let's just pray, all right? But why don't you come up to the front? I'm going to do the awkward altar call where I'm just going to wait until someone comes up. Because I really feel like God is in the room and he wants to release power this morning. It's not just comfort. It's not just peace, but it's power. There is power in the name of Jesus. And maybe you just say Jesus together. That's okay. You can just say Jesus together. But I want to invite you up because God is releasing something this morning from his red letters. Maybe you've never come up for prayer before. Maybe you think it's really weird. You don't know what's going on. That's okay. But I want to encourage you, take a risk, walk on the water this morning, and let's get some breakthrough in this place. If everyone's busy up here, turn to someone next to you and just pray for them, all right? Just say Jesus if you say nothing else. But he is in the room. He wants to bring healing. If you're joining in online, we just want to release the name of Jesus over you. Anyone sick this morning, we just release the name of Jesus. You are healed in his name. We just speak that to anyone dealing with congestion this morning or respiratory illnesses. We just speak the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're not coming up, be a witness with a broom and a mop in about 25 minutes. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.